Welcome to Dates of Our Lives, a true crime and awareness podcast. I'm your host, Kenna. In this podcast, I meet with a new guest each episode to discuss the date that changed their life. These stories include, but are not limited to, missing persons cases, survivor tales, personal tragedies, and more. This podcast was created nearly a decade after my own personal experience. In 2015, I lost one of my sisters, Cameron, in a truly horrific way, and I have been searching for meaning ever since. I truly believe each person's story is unique and extremely important to share, and I wanted to create a safe space to make that possible. Please join me in bringing awareness to these events and allowing space for healing, one episode at a time. You can listen to Dates of Our Lives anywhere you get your podcasts. Dates of Our Lives is coming soon, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. Welcome back to another episode of Diagnosing a Killer. I'm Kenna.
And I'm Kowal.
How is it going?
Pretty good.
Pretty good, pretty good. I feel like my throat's already a problem.
Yeah.
That vocal rasp or vocal fry.
Soup's excited. I am off of work for the next few days, so I get to focus on cleaning. And it's kind of therapeutic. So.
Yeah. That is nice to have that extra time. I got up for work this morning, and then I was told that there was a change of plans in my schedule, so I actually only ended up working for, like, 3 hours today, and it was pretty nice, too.
Do you see I cleaned the corner of the bathroom?
I did. Oh, my gosh, that's so funny that you say that, because I walked in, and I was like, ooh, the floors look nice, and I remembered that I saw it earlier today that the floor was kind of gross, and I was like, oh, it was, like, a pleasant surprise that it was clean.
I cleaned the baseboards. In the bathroom, too.
Which just getting, nice. Like, full-on Cinderella over here. Yeah.
Cinderella. Do the dishes, Cinderella.
Well, I have a mental breakdown today that is actually not even in the DSM.
Really?
But it is a disorder. So we're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, would you like to give everyone our social media?
Sure. You can check us out on social media anywhere at Diagnosing a Killer, other than X, formerly known as Twitter, which is at Killer Diagnosis. We also have a Cash App, PayPal, Venmo. We also got that Patreon going. We got four tiers. Tier number one is... never remember. Tier number one, you get ad-free mental breakdown episodes. Tiers two, three, and four get ad-free every episode. And tiers three and four get that added bonus episode at the end of every month.
Yeah, definitely. I think I was mistaken the last time we talked about it. I thought we had like 12 out. We have 15. So
nice.
We have 15 of those bonus episodes. If you'd like to join those peeps that have access to them, go over to patreon.com/diagnosingakiller and sign up. It actually really helps us out, and it helps us create more content for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Like, so, share, subscribe, and don't forget to add automatic downloads so that you don't miss a single one of our episodes.
Right. And thank you so much to our existing Patreons as well. We always want to make sure we're thanking them because y'all are the best. And I love all your comments on everything.
Best comments.
So today we are going to be talking about body integrity dysphoria.
Interesting.
And as you may know, we wait till the end to record the content warning for each other. But you guys won't hear anything different. So you are going to hear your content warning right about now. Content warning. This episode includes conversation about self-mutilation and self-harm. If this episode is not for you, we encourage you to find another one of our episodes. Remember, your mental health is very important, and we love you.
We love you.
Bye. Bye. I'm just going to love that for the rest of forever.
I know. It's like movie magic.
Okay, let's get into this. Body integrity dysphoria is also referred to as body integrity identity disorder, amputee identity disorder, or xenomelia. Body integrity dysphoria, or BID, is a rare mental disorder that is characterized by a desire to have a sensory or physical disability or feeling discomfort with being able-bodied.
Okay.
It's very different than anything we've really talked about.
Yeah.
People essentially think that they are overcompensated with what they have and maybe a piece of them does not belong to themselves and they don't want it anymore.
It's like the opposite of phantom limb?
I wouldn't say it's the opposite. I would say it's almost phantom limb when the limb is still attached.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So you'd feel that you have, like you said, an overabundance of something that you don't feel is, but it's the way that they identify. They identify as amputee, or they identify as someone who shouldn't have an arm or
yes,
a leg.
Right. And so another thing that we're going to notice about this is that there is like little to no research about this disorder. And that being the case, there's a lot of what ifs and maybes when it comes to like how people think and feel and how people should be treated and things like that. But we'll get into it.
That's very interesting. And I bet there's very few cases as
yeah,
well.
Of course. In individuals with BID, there is often a mismatch between the mental body image and the physical body, and this often results in an intense desire for amputation or complete paralysis of a limb. This desire for amputation typically focuses on the leg, or the desire to become blind or deaf can also be part of this disorder. So the reason I say it typically focuses on the leg is because while there are minimal cases, most of them are about the leg.
Mm.
But yeah, so it can even go into
senses.
Right, wanting to become blind or feeling like you need to become blind or deaf.
Wow.
In even rarer cases, a person will express a sexual arousal connected with the desire for loss of a limb, movement, or sense.
Okay, Biney.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Dexter. Oh, yeah.
Brian was really into that.
True. But he was into it from like a paraphilic standpoint, like a fetish almost. This is like a personal, like internal thing for yourself.
I guess it's like your own foot fetish.
While the diagnosis of body integrity dysphoria did not make it into the DSM-5 or the DSM-5-TR, it is mentioned within the newest version relating to body dysmorphic disorder. So it's like a side note of body dysmorphic disorder.
What do they call that? They call that
I don't know, like a subset
or
something? Yeah. Also, by the way, I ordered the DSM-5-TR today.
Oh.
The newest one that came out in 2023.
We'll have to read from it for sure.
Yeah. BID was mentioned in the International Classification of Diseases 11, or the ICD, and it is included under the category of, quote, disorders of bodily distress of bodily experience, end quote.
I was going to ask if it was part of the ICD-10, but I guess they have 11 now.
They do have the 11 now, yeah. The ICD explains BID as being, quote, characterized by an intense and persistent desire to become physically disabled in a significant way, with onset by early adolescence, accompanied by persistent discomfort or intense feelings of inappropriateness concerning current non-disabled body configuration.
Good job.
Thank you. The desire to become physically disabled results in harmful consequences, as manifested by either the preoccupation with the desire significantly interfering with productivity, with leisure activities, or with social functioning, or by attempts to actually become disabled, have resulted in the person putting his or her health or life in significant jeopardy. The disturbance is not better accounted for by another mental, behavioral, or neurodevelopment disorder, by a disease of the nervous system, or by another medical condition, or by malingering, end quote. So, pretty much what the DSM-5 would say, or 5TR would say, but essentially, yeah, just kind of like dotting all their I's and crossing their T's, like it's not caused by anything else, like this is its own thing.
Right.
So like stated, this type of disorder typically begins showing signs in early adolescence and actually said anywhere from the ages of 5 to 8, which is really early.
That you start identifying having essentially a disability.
Right. And unfortunately, sometimes this can result in harmful consequences because you are so young when you do experience it. You might try to take matters into your own hands, so to speak.
Like harm yourself or,
So a term known as eponymnophilia was first described in a 1977 article by psychologists Greg Firth and John Money as being primarily sexually oriented. This word, eponymnophilia, was the previously known term for BID.
Okay.
It's just no longer used.
So, nophilia being paraphilic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In 1986, John Money would further describe a similar condition he called ectoctomophilia, which is the sexual arousal in response to a partner's amputation.
Mm. Could you imagine growing up and your name was John Money?
Yeah. What up, John Money?
Look, it goes Big Money. John Money in the house!
Oh, I'd call him J Money for sure.
J Money. Yeah. J Money.
The condition would receive public attention in the late 1990s after a Scottish surgeon called Robert Smith amputated limbs of two otherwise healthy people who were desperate to have them done.
This was where?
This was in Scotland. Well, I don't know if it was in Scotland, but it was a Scottish surgeon in the late 90s.
That checks.
They said, I don't want these limbs, but they essentially did like a doctor-assisted amputation, but they were otherwise perfectly healthy.
I feel like I've heard... Either I've heard a case that's similar to that where somebody's like, yeah, just cut off my finger or my ear or essentially they were an otherwise healthy, perfectly healthy individual, like you had said. That's my third time saying that. But yeah, it was either that or it was American Horror Story. I can't remember.
It was Grey's Anatomy as well. They have like three cases where like one of the times this hockey player gets like his finger broken or it's like rugby or something and he has to play. And so he's like, can you just cut it off? Like, I don't want to wait for it to heal. Just cut it off. Like, I just amputate it. And they're like, no, you can't do that. And then he, like, cuts it off himself, or he tries to. And then there's this other one that is truly like this, where this guy comes in and he's like, hey, my foot, like, my left foot, it's not mine. And they're like, what? He's like, it's just not mine. Like, it needs to go. Like, he's, like, shaking it, like, hitting it on the floor and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, it's just not mine. Could you just remove it? And they're like... Sir, we can't remove, like, a perfectly healthy limb. Like, there's nothing wrong with you physically.
He's like, just donate it.
Yeah, but it's not mine. Yeah, seriously. And he ends up grabbing a saw from somewhere and starting to cut his own leg off. Like, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, I think I remember that. Is that, like, in the first intro? And then it's like...
Maybe. Yeah. It's in the beginning of the first couple seasons, for sure. So back to history of BID. In 2004, a man named Michael First would publish the first clinical research in which he surveyed 52 people with BID. These names are just great.
I know they are. They're great.
Out of these 52, a quarter of these people had undergone amputation for this disorder. Based on this survey, Michael would coin the term body integrity identity disorder to express what he saw as more of an identity disorder than a paraphilia, just like you were saying.
Yeah. Whether it's your favorite browser or by app, listening to audiobooks with Audiobooks Now makes it easier and more affordable to enjoy your favorite books. Audiobooks Now subscribers receive their club price plan and includes other amazing deals. Click the link in the show notes for an exclusive offer today. Get audiobooks you love for less with Audiobooks Now.
After this discovery, minimal research was done to fully understand where the disorder comes from, and there are still questions surrounding it today. Due to the fact that it's so rare, BID is a very misunderstood disorder, and because of this, it can be extremely difficult to diagnose and to treat. Furthermore, there are still differing opinions and thoughts about what causes it. Some people who have seldom studied the disorder suggest that BID can be linked to early childhood trauma, obsessive compulsive tendencies, or over-identification with amputees, which I think is interesting. It's like essentially what they're trying to say is if you have a lot of amputees in your life from a young age, you may be inclined to like try to become part of that group. But I don't think that makes sense. Like
if your mom's blind, you wish you were blind or something?
Yeah, or something. But childhood trauma, I mean, we can always explain that. Like that's always an explanation. And then obsessive compulsive tendencies also make sense to me because it's like they become obsessed with like the fact that that's not something they want on their body.
Yeah. Do you think it's like a reincarnation thing where somebody is like a war-torn soldier?
And maybe.
They're reincarnated and they believe that they don't deserve all these limbs?
I don't know.
It's like reincarnation limb guilt?
Maybe. However, while some people may not fully agree with these theories, psychologists and neurologists tend to agree that BID may be caused by the brain not mapping the body correctly. Which makes a little more sense to me.
That does.
If this is the case, rather than being a mental disturbance, BID could very likely be a neurological disorder that occurs in childhood. So the brain will begin mapping the body when the person is first born, but it will continue to do so well into the person's childhood, when people with BID typically begin reporting their discomfort with their bodies.
That makes sense, yeah, because babies go through stages, right, where they recognize that their hands are theirs, like, their feet are theirs.
The
like, holy shit, I got two of these, you know?
Yeah,
and so when kids start to begin to walk and then eventually run, that is part of that development as well. Is
for
that
sure.
Like you said, brain mapping those motor skills and recognizing those motor skills, how fast you can run, when to stop, when to, keep going, when to pivot, all that.
And then also when an external trauma enters the environment that you're in, that brain mapping can be disrupted. And mm-hmm. that would make sense to me.
Yeah. And then also in the same vein, you know, it's what if there's a physical thing that happens, you know, with the development of the frontal lobe, or did this child accidentally get hit on the head?
Yeah.
You know, things like that where, you know, it's kind of disrupted, like you said, but it's more of a neurological or medical thing than it is a psychological thing.
Right, yeah, and that's where the disagreement is. Again, there is so little to go off of when it comes to BID, and much more extensive research needs to be done to fully understand the disorder. When someone is experiencing symptoms of BID, they may have strong emotional disturbances due to a healthy limb or other part of their body they simply do not connect with. When it comes to this desire to get rid of a particular part of the body, it is not simply just the desire of wanting the limb gone, but the all-over consuming urge to actually take the steps to get rid of the body part. This becomes an obsessive need in some cases, and people will and often do go to great lengths to make this happen. If a person who is struggling with BID does not seek professional help, they will often attempt to do this amputation or removal themselves, and this can cause major trauma, infection, and more. Furthermore, these obsessive thoughts about removing a part of their body can really affect someone's personal, professional, and social lives as well. Obviously, if you're experiencing this obsessive thought, you might not want to tell someone else about it because in their mind, it's like, how do I say that to someone else, you know?
I'm kind of thinking, as well as you're explaining it, just people that suffer from body dysmorphia as well, and how this must be linked in some way.
And I think that's why it falls under the, like, the whole body integrity disorders category in the DSM. Mm-hmm. The fact that BID is extremely hard to diagnose is another potential dangerous side effect of the disorder. Typically, when or if a person decides to seek out help for these feelings, they will be referred to a neurologist in order to undergo a brain scan. Doctors will first look for any type of brain tumor that may be causing the interference with the body. This can be extremely expensive, and some people will not want to go through the trouble for a disorder that may make them feel like they can't talk about it in the first place.
Hmm.
When a person has BID, they may have several different symptoms that pile on the desire to lose a limb or body part. They may feel a sense of overcompletion, exhaustion from trying to hide their feelings from others, obsessive thoughts about their bodies, extreme stress or anxiety about how they present themselves to the world, and depression due to the fact that they can't be their true self. Many people who seek treatment for the symptoms of BID will not receive an accurate diagnosis, and this can even further encourage them to attempt self-mutilation. However, most of the time, the person experiencing BID will not think of this as self-harm, and rather what they have to do.
Yeah.
Either way, attempting self-mutilation can lead to things like uncontrollable bleeding, infection, nerve damage, severe pain, and/or phantom limb pain.
Please don't hurt yourselves.
On top of this, it is extremely dangerous to attempt self-mutilation, and it can be life-threatening.
Yeah.
Although it is likely to get misdiagnosed when seeking help for BID, that should not discourage people from speaking with a professional. The best thing to do is to educate oneself about their symptoms and speak with a psychology professional to get assistance. Once somebody becomes diagnosed with BID, treatment will need to begin immediately. Although it is also a difficult disorder to treat, BID does have a few treatment options that have been utilized in the past. These include cognitive behavioral therapy and medications to treat anxiety and/or depression. On top of these, other types of treatment have been utilized to treat BID, such as having the client wear a prosthetic or even using a wheelchair or crutches, and also using virtual reality to simulate living without parts of your body.
Oh, interesting.
That makes me think of VR for, like, agoraphobia. Like, if you're afraid to go outside, you do, like, Sheila in Shameless, when she goes to the grocery store, VR, because, like, it's getting over her fear.
I've never seen Shameless.
Oh, well, she does.
But when we got back from Manhattan and we didn't see the Twin Tower Memorial, or what do you call that? What's it called?
Ground Zero.
Yeah, Ground Zero. When we got back home, I did the VR Ground Zero.
Oh, did you?
Because I was like, and there's just people walking around. Yeah. And like, yeah, but it really felt like you were there.
Right, and VR can definitely, like, make you so enveloped in that, and it can feel so real that it might be a good treatment, almost like a, like you're, like, I don't know, exposure therapy almost,
yeah.
Right? But, like, the reverse.
I wonder if that does more, I don't know, I mean, I'm sure it does good for overall, you know, serotonin and stuff like that, but when you come back to reality, is it
right, just, gonna exasperate
them. Yeah, is it bleak?
I know. I'm not sure. That's why I said these have been utilized, but these are just things that have been tried.
Fair, yeah.
While treatment is not known to get rid of the desire to relieve oneself of a body part, it can reduce the amount of stress one feels surrounding the feelings. There are some people who believe that the successful removal of the body part that is causing the pain may be a way to treat BID, but this has not been proven. In fact, there is research to suggest that the removal may increase the amount of stress and anxiety due to the challenges that come with it and may lead to regretful feelings.
This is kind of a weird, I don't think it's a far-fetched thought, but I just feel like, do you think in certain cases, if people were allowed to, let's say, amputate a foot or an arm or a hand, that it would actually be life-saving?
I can see where that would be something that could be seen as a benefit, especially in this mindset of, I need to do this to feel better. But as far as research goes with this specific disorder, I'm just not sure. Just because, again, it's so, there's so little that has been studied about it.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you either way if it would really truly help or if it would make things worse.
Yeah.
Because I was also going to say that there's also the risk of, let's say someone does go and they do a successful treatment or amputation with a professional, that could also potentially increase the desire to now want to do that further.
Yeah.
And then it could lead into another negative, you know?
I see what you're saying. I think that, and of course, not to compare apples and oranges here, but if you don't like your nose, you get a nose job. You know, with trans individuals, there's this body dysmorphia, and nothing will make that go away until they transition.
Yeah.
You know, and feel that that's a successful transition. So I'm wondering in this case, you know, this is part of what they're saying is an identity thing. Then it's like, do you amputate your foot? But I think that you would go into a doctor and a doctor would look at you funny, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, it's, I don't know.
And again, that's why it's so important to have this education and to understand what this disorder is so that people can now start to seek treatment so that those people can be the ones that are studied and we can find things out like this.
Yeah.
Because we've seen, like I was just about to say next, not many people will come forward to seek help with this disorder.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really clear how prevalent it is. Like, they don't tell us that there's not a number because there could be many people out there that are experiencing this and it's just considered rare because it doesn't get talked about.
I mean, there's definitely things all over the world in different cultures, body modifications and such. And again, not to compare an amputee situation like that, but I mean, it's part of autonomy.
Right.
Yeah, it's very wild.
And honestly, it's one of those things, too, where I was like, I wanted to bring this, and it's been on my list for a while, but there's just not a lot of information about it.
Yeah.
So I'm relaying everything that I can about it and what I know, but it's important that people are aware of things like this so that maybe someone listens to this and they go, oh my gosh, that's actually exactly how I feel, and I didn't even think about it. I'm going to go talk to someone so that I can get that professional help.
For sure. We definitely don't want to be like, oh, that's weird, bro.
Right.
You know, it's just that it's fascinating.
It is. And it's, again, it's very rare. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have. I just wanted to add, if you or somebody you know are having signs or symptoms of BID, it is important to understand that you're not alone. Your thoughts and feelings are real and matter, and there is always someone out there that is willing to listen. There are ways to find relief that do not include self-mutilation or amputation. And please speak to your healthcare provider or psychology professional. If you are contemplating self-mutilation, always dial 911, or you can reach the National Suicide Hotline at 988 24/7.
Absolutely. No matter what, your safety is important.
Right.
This might be something that you're experiencing and you don't know how to handle it, and you might feel like you are the quote-unquote crazy person, but there's a way to go about these things.
Right.
There's a way to handle these things, and what we don't want is for people to hurt themselves.
Absolutely not. So yeah, definitely always talk to a professional in instances like this, and remember that you're not alone. There's plenty of resources as well online that are available. But yeah, that's my mental breakdown.
Very interesting. Interesting stuff.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I hope you guys enjoyed this one, and I think that's all we have.
Yeah, we'll see you on Thursday for another case.
Okay.
And we love you.
Bye. Loving a pet is easy. Losing a pet is hard. Perfect Memorials has been chosen by families since 2001 for their unique memorial products. Choosing a cremation urn or other product from Perfect Memorials allows many special ways to memorialize your loved one. Keep your furry friend in your memory forever with unique, handcrafted, and personalized products for everyone. Click the link in our show notes for an exclusive offer with Perfect Memorials today.